Hello and welcome to the new episode of Word of Mouth, our podcast focusing on Webster staff and students about any interesting topics that they might want to talk about. Today, I am joined by Tim Young.
Hello.
Yeah. Could you quickly give us an introduction, kind of like tell us what you do?
At Webster?
Yeah.
So I look after the website, the social media. I work in the IT department, so I do some marketing as well. I'm sort of a general technical and creative dog's body, I think is a good description.
Okay. So today I want to focus this discussion on your own personal creative work. And I'd like to start by talking about a recent experience that you've had, which was going out to London and recording a music video. So could you kind of like tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I was very fortunate that 10, 11 years ago, just before I started working at Webster, and just after I'd arrived in France, so before I was working in Switzerland, I was lucky enough to record the making of one of Phil Collins' albums, studio in Gland, which was where at the time Webster students used to actually go there to do to learn about media, because the guy who ran it was at the time he was the head of the media program at Webster. And while I was doing that album, I met a guy called John Arum, who was doing the trumpets, the trombones, doing all the brass stuff on the record, and we became friends, and we've been friends since. And I've done a couple of small projects with him, but nothing as serious as this. And then just towards the end of last year, he invited me to go to record him and his band recording. So this is a sort of big band jazz group recording their album in London. And so I went and filmed them for 2 days in a recording studio in London, which was fantastic.
All right, that sounds nice. How would you say that it like differs from your own personal work? Because this was a bit more professional, I'd assume.
Yeah, I mean, it was a paid job, so and very different to what I do at Webster, because I mean, this is my old school job. I my original training is in photography and filmmaking, so I went sort of backwards, and those skills, to be fair, I don't think they really leave you, but it is a very different skill to what I use in my day-to-day work, because you know, the whole time you're thinking, you know, how is what I'm filming going to be used, and making sure that you get everything well covered and that you're filming everything that's needed. In this case, it was a bit of a difficult brief, because he didn't really know exactly what it was going to be used for in the end. And in fact, we haven't edited it yet. It's still sitting on my computer, on his computer. We've taken a few little bits of it and he's using them for promotion. But obviously with the lockdown at the moment, he's not going to be going out and playing any gigs with his band. And I think that the idea was that this is going to be a promotional material for getting concerts. So at the moment it's not needed, but it was sort of getting some skills out that I haven't used in a while and flexing them, which was good. And it gave me an excuse to buy a new camera, which was also good.
Okay. Next up, moving a bit past the recording side of your things, I want to talk a bit more about your art, specifically the painting that you do.
Yeah, so the painting is something that I've always done drawing. I've always been a sort of creative artist in that sense, but I hadn't really done any serious painting since I was in my teens. And maybe 5 years ago, I took it up again as something that I could do just as a hobby, really. I hadn't really considered that it was going to be anything serious, but people really liked what I did, and I was quite surprised. And I'm still surprised that people like things that I make. But I've now done more than 100 paintings since I started, so sort of 25 wow. paintings a year. And the weird thing is that with the lockdown, I haven't really painted. I've been doing sort of other creative things. I've been doing some music. I've been doing a lot of gardening, and if you can consider that to be creative. Sure. But just for the excuse of being outside. And the easel is sort of sitting there with a blank canvas on it at the moment, and I sort of know what I want to do next, but I haven't started it, you know. So I know what I need to paint next, but I'm always exploring, and you know, and art for me, painting for me is an exploration, you know. If I'm painting the same thing twice, it's kind of a bit pointless. If I'm not learning something when I'm doing it, then there's not a lot of point in doing it.
Mm. You know, I get that. So for those that like don't know, your painting style is very, there's something that's a very like recognizable feature by having everything be kind of drawn using triangles.
Yeah, I do that. And when I started, it was a lot like that. I've sort of moved a little bit past that now, and I do. But you will always find straight lines, and you will always find angular shapes and geometry and stuff in there. And I don't know where that came from, to be brutally honest.
Okay, well, one of my questions was going to be kind of like what inspired the use of triangles specifically, or I guess now more like the geometrical aspect of it.
Well, I mean, I can tell some of my favorite artists are like from the Bauhaus, so I know that's probably where some of it's coming from. My probably most favorite artist is a guy called Lionel Feininger, and he originally drew the cover of the Bauhaus manifesto, and he was a teacher at the Bauhaus. He taught printmaking, but his paintings are, I mean, I still can't work out how he does what he does. To get such a really nice balance of representation and abstraction in a single painting is a pure art form. So I recommend you go and Google him up, have a look at his stuff, you know, especially stuff in the 1920s and 1930s, because I think that's when he was really at his best. Before that, he was a cartoonist. So a lot of his early work is a lot more sort of, it's less angular and less, has a lot less lines in it, you know. But when he comes into the 20s and 30s and then all the way through into the 1960s, I think he died in the 60s, he continues this style of angles and straight lines and shapes that I admire a lot. And I think if you look at his work, you can see where I'm getting some inspiration from.
Okay, yeah, I'll check him out. Sounds interesting. So you just talked about your favorite artist. What I wonder is, do you personally have a favorite piece that you have created yourself? And like, why is that your favorite, if you have one?
Well, yeah, all my favorites are the ones that, it's a terrible thing to say to anybody who's ever bought anything that I have made, but I've kept all my favorites, so... Well, most of my favorites. There's probably a few that I regret selling because I think, well, I should have kept that because it was really good. But I think the majority of the things that are hanging on the walls in my house are the ones that I like. So there's a painting I did of my children that is on, you can see it on my Instagram, sort of jumping. They were at playgroup and they're the two of them together jumping on a, like, yeah, they're just jumping in the air, the two of them. And that's probably my best painting, my most favorite painting, where I've kind of got everything right. But it was one that I did 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and I'm not sure I've moved past it in terms of getting better. It depends how you define better. But, you know, I've tried a lot of other different things. It's still, of the ones that are just completely composed of triangles, that's probably the best one I did. And since then... some of the most recent experiments I've been doing with working with oil paints instead of with acrylic paints, because I started with acrylic and now I use oil. I'm finding some new things that I'm really liking as well, but I don't think I've mastered it yet. So that'll come, I'm sure. I hope.
Well, what are your current plans for some of the art that you're doing?
So the sort of thing that keeps me making art more than anything is that I'm part of two local art groups where I live in France. So one of them is just in my village, and every year we have an exhibition. Whether we'll have one this year or not, who knows? But that's usually in October. We have one in the village hall, and I put in four or five pieces in that. And I'm also part of a group in another village, a lot closer to Webster, in a place called Verzenay. And it's a lot bigger, a lot more professional, in a very big light room out there. And there I get to show maybe 10 or more pieces. Sort of, I have about 5 meters of space there. So, yeah, that's a lot more serious, and that keeps me making art. So, yeah.
Okay. How would you describe your process, like when you create a piece? Like, where do you begin? How does the overall execution of that go?
Well, like I was saying, it's a lot of it's about wanting to experiment and to try new things. So often I may choose a subject based on and what it is that I'm trying to achieve in the experiment. So if I'm wanting to try mixing particular colors, I'll find a subject that matches those colors and then work something up that's based on that. And when I'm doing that, I mean, the thing is, the process, it changes depending on what it is you're trying to do. So I usually sketch something on the canvas, a little bit, if it's just pencils, to give myself a bit of a layout. And then I take it from there. But sometimes I paint directly, you know, I'll just start painting having made no marks on the canvas at all. So I don't know, there isn't really a set process apart from the one thing I definitely do is I always finish everything, because I don't see the point in, I don't think I abandon very many things. Sometimes I abandon things in the sense that they look finished, but they're not finished for me. And I've done that a couple of times, and I actually titled one of my paintings recently, If You Abandon Me, I Will Be Finished, because it wasn't finished, but I just abandoned it. So, yeah.
I get that, because when I do some like painting and art in my spare time as well, and I have a tendency of starting different projects and never fully finishing them.
Yeah, so you're basically Leonardo, right? Because sure. the Mona Lisa is famously unfinished, I think. So,
yeah. Do you have any like advice against doing that? Because it is nice to have like something completely done.
No, I mean the done thing is the thing that keeps me going. So I like to have something finished, put it to one side, and in fact, part of the process for me is photographing it, giving it a title, putting a piece of string on the back of it, and then putting it away, or giving it to somebody. And that's as much part of the process as starting it, I think. So, yeah.
So kind of just having an almost like formal end to it.
Yes. Having a formal end is really important, because otherwise you could just sit there. I mean, I've considered a couple of times. I have a few of my early paintings that I don't think I will ever be able to sell to anybody or even give away. And I've thought, shall I go back to them and add something to them to make them, you know, sellable or giveable? And so far I haven't done that. Maybe I will one day. But then what I'd probably want to do, because I also number all my paintings, I'd probably add a second numbering to it, you know, to make it part of a later paint. It'd have both numbers. So painting 16 and 205 or something, you know, double number.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that you also are at the moment doing a bit more music.
Yes.
So what I was wondering is, to you, what is like the connection between the different forms of art that you do? Like, how does it tie together?
I guess the thing that ties it together is the creative need to do it. because I don't think it really matters whether I'm painting or making music or, like I was saying, gardening, you know, or anything that's got a creative element to it. It's the need to actually do it that's important more than anything else. So that is probably what would tie it together, I think. It's a bit of a short answer, but probably the true one.
Yeah, so just like having this want to create, basically.
Yeah, there's a really good series just started on Channel 4 in the UK, because I've got English television installed in my house, and with Grayson Perry. I don't know if you've heard of him, the artist. And he's sort of doing an art club from home, as lots of people are doing programs at the moment, you know, from confinement. But it's really interesting because he talks about the creative process in there, and he's actually an artist that's worth reading and following for a lot of reasons. You know, he does he wrote a very good book about masculinity that's worth reading, considering that he's basically a transvestite. He likes to dress up as a little girl often, and he's a potter as well. Very interesting person, Grayson Perry. Highly recommend investigating him. But on this program, he talks a lot about the creative process and how it's almost healing for people, and it's necessary, you know. And if you don't have a creative outlet in your life, you can be quite sad, I think, you know. I think we all got some. I think some people, the creative outlet's just going for a run, you know. For some people, it's it might be doing their taxes, but they'd be a very strange person. They wouldn't be one of my friends.
I feel like it's important for people to kind of have some kind of outlet where they can express themselves however they want to.
Yeah, and there's no excuse, really, you know. I've often said that there's no excuse for not having original art on the wall in your house, you know, because at the very least, you could, you know, you could make an abstract piece of art very easily. It would, for very little money, that would be so much better than anything you could buy from IKEA, you know. Although you might put it in an IKEA frame, because, you know, the frame's cheap, right?
Yeah. Or just don't frame it and just use like glue tack to stick it up.
Exactly. You could also just stick it on the wall, yeah, with nails.
That's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So you said that like the connection between the different forms of art for you is just this need of expression.
Yeah.
Is there anything that is different in terms of the process? Because you've said that your painting is very like experimental, and you kind of just it's and that you don't really have a clear process when it comes to creating like a painting. Mm. Is that different to when you make music, or is it the same?
Well, in the sense that I'm not as good, I'm probably a better painter than I am a musician, probably. I don't know. I'm certainly not well trained in either. But in terms of music, there's definitely has, you know, things, you can make things wrong really fast in music. Whereas in painting, I think you know, you can have a lot more happy mistakes.
Happy little accidents.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas in music, if something's out of tune or not in time, it's wrong straight away, right? Mm-hmm. It's unless you're trying to make some sort of avant-garde jazz, you know, which I'm not. So often what I'm is that no, the experimental thing is still there, because, you know, when I'm recording a song, I'll do 20 tracks and keep two. And the others are still there as ideas, but they're not in the song when I finished. So no, I think the process is similar, but I don't know how to make music as well. I think that's what it is. I need to start learning again, you know. But I do listen to a lot of music, so I'm getting a lot of inspiration from some of my favorite artists on how to work, you know.
Okay. Unless you have anything else that you would like to add, I think that we can end it there. That's all the time we have for today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
It's been lovely to talk to you. I hope that was interesting.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. I thought it was very interesting. It's really nice to kind of hear this like inside on like the creative process that you do, because a lot of time people only see the finished product and they don't really get like the amount of work that is going in, or like what is like, what's the process that people are going through when they make something. So it's really nice to kind of like discuss it a bit.
Yeah, and it's a person, you know, it's a very, I think for everybody, it's a quite a personal process. I don't think there's a right and wrong way of doing it either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Tell that to Vlad when you speak to him.
Holy. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dominic, and have a nice day.
Thanks. You too.